So it seems that Joshua, in our reading from this evening, is having a hard time. He's not big on self-confidence. He's taken over the leadership of the tribes of Israel following the death of his mentor, Moses, and has already had one divine pep talk in chapter 1 of his eponymous biblical book. "Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you," says God. "Be strong and courageous." So Joshua sends spies into the land of Canaan, the land which has been promised to the Israelites. And they come back with the story that everyone is afraid of the Israelites. So Joshua needs to get his and everyone else's act together as they have to do this thing. So God gives another boost to Joshua. As our reading began this evening, "The Lord said to Joshua, 'This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, so that they may know that I will be with you as I was with Moses.'" And the story then moves on to the miraculous crossing of the River Jordan, where none of the people of Israel, except for the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, get so much as a toe damp in the water, as the water is heaped up and the river dries. Might not be quite so impressive as the Red Sea, but it's still impressive. The writer makes sure that we know it's pretty floody and damp at that time of year. And the storytellers are very clear about making the parallels with the story of Moses known, to carry on that story arc for Joshua. It's a great story. Very, very probably not a word of it is true. I mean, not literally or historically true. There is no historical or archaeological evidence whatsoever of this happening beyond the bounds of our biblical text. There's no evidence of the enslavement of a large body of people in Israel at any time in recorded history. No evidence of the Exodus or of Moses or of Miriam or Aaron or the invasion of what we now call Israel. Or as Karen got to read this evening, it was a real names evening this evening. The lands of the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. There's no written document, or even scraps of documents, that mention any of what we have read up to this point in our stories of the patriarchs and matriarchs of the Israelite people. There's no record of the 12 tribes or the Hebrew people. There's no mention of Joshua or the invasion of the so-called Promised Land. In fact, the only mentions of all these things happen long, long after the events that they purport to relate. And the only mentions of the names of these great leaders and the tribes of Israel and even the name Hebrews occurs when these books of myth or papyrus of myth and story or scrolls of myth and story begin circulating in the religious groups of an emerging cult around the worship of the God we refer to as Jehovah. What we are reading week after week in these stories from the Hebrew Scriptures are the origin stories for an emerging and evolving spiritual tradition. They're probably stories that have been floating around for a while, campfire stories, bedtime stories, stories told at tribal gatherings and shared within and between families. These are stories seeking to make meaning, to create bonds within these 12 tribes of Israel and a foundation for the growing cult of Jehovah. This explains the need to repeat key ideas of being kept safe through waters, whether it be Jordan or the Red Sea, the Reed Sea. And there's both continuity in the leadership of Joshua, who is appointed by Moses, and novelty, in that it is not Joshua striking the waters with a staff or standing outstretched with his arms holding a staff, but the presence of the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark containing the symbols of God's relationship with the people, the tablets of the law, that causes the river to stop in this story. And so we see how, as the understanding of the Israelite people grows, that the law becomes the heart of who they are. And the responsibility of keeping the law is now to be the focus of the people of Israel. These stories exist to give a sense of identity, common purpose, and shared value. They're not standalone stories. They exist within and for the community. And they presume that those who hear them will know the value of the law, will know the centrality of the relationship between God and God's chosen people, and the importance of priests and leaders. Remember that last one if you don't remember anything else. But you might genuinely ask, why do we still tell these stories? Why are these our scriptures? How are these still relevant? They are good questions, and we should not be afraid to ask them. And there's more than I could ever begin to unpack in this last 30 seconds that I'm going to try and fit the rest into. The short response, the reason I believe we're still here listening to these stories, is that there are within them deeply embedded truths of what it means to be human, what it means to be in community, what it means to be just and equitable, why ritual is important, why music is important, why art is important, is all there within the stories of our Hebrew forebears. What it means to wrestle with and meet the divine within, between, and beyond us. That's where the value of these stories continues. And our origin stories that we heard this evening in the choosing of those 12 apostles for Jesus, they all contain these factors of relationship and justice and learning and wrestling and growing. They are the stories, the scriptures. Also, these are the stories, the scriptures that formed and informed Jesus, the founder of our faith, Jesus the Jew, the rabbi whose apprehension and understanding of God is rooted deep in the traditions and teachings of Israelite religion. If we're going to get to grips with what Jesus was saying, we need to know whatever we can of where he came from. These documents may not be our foundational documents, our origin story, in quite the same way that they are, or they were, for our Hebrew forebears, or are for our Jewish siblings today. But they still have much to teach us, much to consider, and much to point us towards a reality that is deeper, wider, and more expansive than we can imagine in any one society, any particular time, or even in the place where we exist right now. And anything that gives us a sense of perspective and which expands our consciousness is, to my mind, worth sticking with. Thanks be to God. Amen.